This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Deborah Becker. This Thursday, UMass Medical School will send healthcare workers to Liberia to plan for a months-long effort to help control the Ebola virus. The school's familiar with the West African nation. It's been sending faculty to Liberia to train doctors and nurses since 2006. And just recently, the school received a $7.5 million grant to lead an effort specifically focused on Ebola. We'll hear from Dr. Michael Collins, Chancellor of UMass Medical School, in a moment. But first, we spoke with Dr. Rick Sacra, a UMass Medical School faculty member who was working as a missionary doctor in Liberia, delivering babies when he contracted Ebola in August. He was treated for 3 weeks in Nebraska before he was declared Ebola-free and hence immune to the disease. We started our conversation with Dr. Sacra and his wife, Debbie, by asking how he's feeling.
I feel great. I feel good. I'm over 90% now, I think.
Took a bike ride.
I did. 10 miles. And that was great. That was my
flat.
First.
Flat. A flat.
Not too flat.
Not too flat.
There's no flat in Central Mass. Come on.
So not 100% then, because it was a flat.
Well, I guess it wasn't as flat as I thought it was.
But you're feeling well.
Yeah, I feel great at this point.
Are you continued to be monitored just to make sure everything's okay, or what's happening?
Ebola doesn't come back. I mean, we've had 40 years of experience with Ebola, and it doesn't recur. I have had some issues with my eye that seem to be related to it that I'm getting some treatment for. No one is concerned about active Ebola infection in me at this point. I'm just getting sort of routine follow-up.
Can you describe what the experience was like? It must have been terrifying.
I have to say I had a real sense of peace. I was, of course, worried about, you know, if something happened to me, what it would do to my family, my wife and my kids. But really I had a sense of calm.
Now, since you came back, a lot has happened. There's been a lot of talk about how do we deal with this? How do we send staff and resources over to Africa and still make sure that we protect our population here, especially after Mr. Duncan died in Dallas? And that raised a lot of questions. Do we know enough about Ebola to say with confidence that we can protect the population? And how would we best do that?
There have been researchers on the ground for every epidemic that there's been doing high-quality research. So there is a lot known about this virus. I would encourage people to have some confidence in the science. This disease is not spread through sitting around the table at a restaurant. It's spread through blood and bodily fluids, and it's not spread by people who are not symptomatic. If we're monitoring people twice a day, we're going to catch them in the first few hours that they have a fever.
We have to remember that in Africa, while there are thousands of people getting Ebola, there are millions of people who are not getting Ebola. You know, the day that Rick contracted his fever in the evening, he spent the day at work. He had dinner with a friend. 2 hours later, he started feeling a fever. None of those people have become sick.
The only way America is going to be safe from Ebola is when we get this thing under control in West Africa. And it takes people to do that. You know, you got a country like Liberia, 4 million people, and we got somewhere between 50 and 100 doctors. And here we have 50 to 100 doctors for one wing of UMass.
Will you go back there?
I will. You know, right now the health system in Liberia is totally crippled. We've lost a lot of healthcare workers. So I want to take part in helping build that system back up so we can be effective and take care of the people in Liberia and hopefully get back to training healthcare workers, which is really one of my passions when I'm there.
But you just don't know when.
I'm praying about sometime in January.
That's relatively soon. Are you helping at all with local preparedness? Are folks consulting with you about that?
I haven't been. The only thing I've been doing some Liberian English training and cultural awareness with some volunteers who are going over. Like the word fever is not used in Liberia. They say, my skin getting hot. So you got to ask somebody, your skin can be hot?
Right. And
if you ask, do you have a fever? They'll say, what did the white man say? So you have to go through a little training so you know how to take a patient's history.
Well, good luck. I'm glad to see that you're recovered and you're healthy and you're both smiling and laughing. Thanks for talking with us.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure.
That's Dr. Rick Sacra, a UMass Medical School faculty member and missionary doctor in Liberia. We also spoke with Dr. Michael Collins, Chancellor of UMass Medical School. While the school hopes to conduct new research into Ebola, Collins says with the medical school's history in Liberia, what's pressing for them is using the new grant money to get healthcare workers on the front lines as soon as possible.
You know, we have a long-standing relationship with the country. The president stayed in our home when she came here to receive an honorary degree. And we spent a lot of time just sitting in our living room talking with each other. And the point that the president made was that her country had come through this period of civil war. In fact, she had this marvelous analogy that the children used to wear guns on their back, and now they had backpacks on their back. I asked her how big was the budget of her country, and she told me. And she said, I know yours. Your budget's bigger than mine. And imagine the budget of a medical school being bigger than the budget of a country. I feel a very weighty responsibility that you have a country with great challenges, and we have talents and intellect and experience that we think we can bring to help that situation.
There's been a lot of controversy about healthcare workers going back and forth, obviously, as you know, and should people be quarantined, and how do we deal with it, and how do we protect the population? What do you tell healthcare workers to attract them to do this when there is this bit of uncertainty about what might face them when they return because of the debate about the rules? And what do you think is the safest way to deal with it for everyone involved?
Neither I nor anyone else has to tell a healthcare worker to volunteer. The very essence of what we are brings this out in the spirit of our people. In medical school, one of the things we teach our students and our residents is to go towards those who are sick. And those countries need entities like ours to go towards them.
But could the debate and the potential 21-day quarantine discourage some people or limit some people's ability to go?
I think we have an education deficit. There's very little risk to the population in general when a healthcare worker returns to the United States. And the current guidelines are that those healthcare workers who directly care for patients should have a voluntary period of quarantine and should be in contact with public health officials should they develop a fever and have some symptoms of being ill. The other thing we're saying is we'd like to get a cadre of people who are willing to go more than once because the training is substantial.
So how many people, in terms of people being sent over there to help?
We have a team going over to make an assessment, and they will come back and say to us, we think this is how many people need to be, this is the kind of people we think we need. We've had an outpouring of volunteers, people who have contacted us to say that they would be willing to go. Look, we're going to beat this thing. We're going to stop its spread. There will be a time when it's out of our conscious, you know, daily conscious. Good public health measures, excellent care of the people who are infected, tracking disease, all those sorts of things. We'll do that, and this will change. But then the issue is, how do we rebuild the healthcare systems over there? All the thinkers who have written about this say that the public health infrastructure and the healthcare infrastructure and the education infrastructure of these countries all need to be improved. And honestly, I think that's where we can play a very major role.
Chancellor, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me. Nice to visit with you.
Dr. Michael Collins is Chancellor of UMass Medical School in Worcester. Earlier, we heard from Dr. Rick Sacra, a UMass Medical School faculty member recently cured of Ebola. For more about the medical school's efforts in Liberia, go to our website, wbur.org.